Hello, my Slice of Sci-Fi listeners, especially those of you in the Phoenix metro area. It is that time of year again. The Phoenix Film Festival and the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival are right around the corner. Opening night, Thursday, August 12th. And folks who are local during the film festival can now win a pair of flex passes for the festival. Send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com, with the subject line Horror Sci-Fi Film Festival 2021, and we will have a lucky winner selected on Wednesday, August 11th, end of day, and you will be notified by the film festival how to obtain your passes. You can find information about the festival's location and schedule at phoenixfilmfestival.com or horrorscifi.com. Check those films out. And remember, email me your entry by 4 p.m. Pacific time, Wednesday, August 11th. That's when we're picking a winner. Good luck! Hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is director Natasha Kermani, whose new horror thriller, Lucky, is available now on Shudder and will soon be available on DVD and Blu-ray for all of you. And this is such a mess with your mind, uncomfortable, want to stop watching it, can't stop watching it kind of film, and I have questions. Hi, Natasha.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Now, the cool thing about this movie is you've directed it, but the lead actress, Brea Grant, actually wrote the screenplay for it. And I have so many questions. Did she intend to put herself through that much torture?
No, it's actually very interesting. When she wrote it, she did not write it for herself to be in. And I think, you know, that it worked out that way, I think was a bit of a stretch for her initially. I don't think she really saw herself in the role. And so it was only after we started really having a lot of conversations about the character and sort of how I saw, you know, the details of the character, sort of how she dresses and how she puts her hair together and how she gets through her day, that I think Brea started seeing, oh, okay, I understand sort of a path forward for myself as a performer. And she's just such a delight, you know, to work with, but also so much fun to watch. So for me, it was always, I read it initially with her in mind. So,
okay.
It wasn't too hard to persuade. She got on board pretty quickly, I think so.
So you didn't have to twist her arm to say, hey, this is you.
No, I think she was excited by sort of our interpretation of the character and sort of what we wanted to do with the film. So I think, you know, once we sort of started down the path, I think it came together pretty smoothly and pretty quickly.
Now, did you have to make any adjustments based on your initial vision of how to shoot this, what to shoot in terms of the look and the feel? Because Brea is very tiny.
Yeah.
and the nightmare assaulting her, harassing her, stalking her, is not a tiny guy.
Not, but he's also, we made a very conscious choice not to have him be a huge guy. Mm-hmm. He is closer to her in stature. And so initially in the script, yes, he was actually written as more of like a Michael Myers, like, you know, over 6 foot big guy in a jumpsuit, work suit kind of situation. And so, yeah, we actually did, we did adjust all of that to sort of be more of a mirror for who Bria was and sort of her interpretation of the character. So yes, certainly that was a change from the script.
What did you want to shoot this story as, like, as an eye towards setting up the suspense, playing on people's perceptions of what May is going through? Because for me, the entire film was a study in discomfort, because it just felt like she was being set up from the get-go. And I don't believe this is a spoiler, but it felt like to me, like everybody who she came across while she's going through this has some game to play in gaslighting her about what's going on. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it really is. The whole world is sort of united against her in a lot of ways. Yeah, I mean, I think really the closest sort of comp that we had was actually, you know, looking at it as though it were an episode of The Twilight Zone or something like that, you know, where the world is really distorting around this person. And so, you know, for me and for the team, we really threw ourselves into this idea of, you know, starting the world in a relatively grounded, normal place, and then letting it get sort of more and more bizarre until the end of the film, when you're just like completely through the looking glass, right? Like sort of a Alice in Wonderland version of this woman's reality. And so it was really just like a crescendo in that way, you know, starting in one place and ending in a completely strange, bizarre other place by the end of the film. And that was really driving force of it.
Yeah. And I don't want to spoil anything, because the twist, I, you know, kind of made me think we were going in one direction. And then the end, I'm like, okay, I really have no idea what's going on. So I'm going to have to watch this again later.
Yeah, it's certainly meant to be a movie that you can watch multiple times. There's a lot of sort of small details that just sort of encourage the storytelling and sort of the bizarro world that she's moving into. Yeah, that's definitely an odd journey that she takes.
Yeah, well, the DVDs will be available on August 3rd, and I am looking forward to diving into the filmmaker commentary, because I need to know more about what's going on, because yeah. I know I missed a few things, so I think I'm going to have questions with all of that. But what you said about it being a Twilight Zone episode clarifies a few things for me, because this is actually Twilight Zone with Groundhog Day with Gaslight together.
Yeah.
And that people are going to have headaches with this movie, but I don't think that's entirely a bad thing, because it's compelling enough. It pulls you in enough. You're like, I don't know what's going on. I want to know what's going on. Maybe this next scene will help. Nope, it didn't.
Let's get crazier. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully you enjoy the journey, you know, it's all the journey into the bizarro sort of nightmarescape. Just like a total, you know, deep dive into this nightmare version of her world.
Well, if a movie intrigues me enough to want to stick around and figure out what's going on, there's definitely something to the story. So for that, I have to commend both of you. What do you want audiences to try to take away from this story?
Yeah, I hope that it is, you know, go into it with an open mind and hopefully see something different and unexpected. And hopefully out of that experience, I would love for more conversations to come out of it, you know, sort of talking to the person that you watched the movie with and say, hey, what did you think that meant? You know, do you think she made a mistake here? Do you, you know, does this remind you of experiences in your own life? And, you know, sort of the conversations that come out of it, really looking at the film as opening a door to a bigger conversation has definitely been our intention from day one of this project. So
cool. Yeah. Just because the conversation around oh, she's just hysterical. Oh, she's just making this up. Oh, she's just having a mental breakdown. Like, no, yeah. Something physical and emotional is going on in this woman's life. It's being done to her. It's mm-hmm. not her imagination. And there's a understandable frustration with, why won't anybody believe me? I'm sitting here, I'm cut, I'm bleeding, there's blood all over my floor. Why won't anyone believe me? And there's a depressive sadness to that aspect because of how much it permeates our real world. And the you hung a Queen Mary size lantern on that question with this film. Do you have any other stories with such a emotional, I'm going to say, knife strike in planning?
Oh boy. I mean, Bria and I are actually developing some other projects together right now. And I think, you know, with everything that we do together, we try to find an interesting, you know, point of view, but definitely always sort of, you know, finding these stories that are meaningful for us and pack an emotional punch while still trying to find sort of an interesting way in, you know, and sort of give people something that they haven't seen before. So I would say absolutely, that's sort of what we want to do again in the future.
Do you lean more toward the horror side or the suspense thriller side? What sort of stories excite you to create for others to experience?
Yeah, I really like the space between genres, to be honest. I really like movies that sort of play between horror and science fiction, or between horror and mystery. And I think sort of playing between those spaces is a really interesting place to be. So I would say all of the above and finding interesting ways of combining those subgenres is really a fun sort of playground sandbox to be in.
Is it easy for you to find those stories, or do you find yourself needing to wonder about writing it yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I do write. So I have a few of my own projects, and then I love to collaborate with writers like Bria, you know. So we do generate, you know, we go a lot to short story collections or authors and sort of finding those stories. Yeah, you have to comb through a lot, but they're certainly out there. And I think they're a lot of fun, and they're worth the effort, I think, because you can find something really special.
Awesome. Well, I, for one, look forward to whatever the two of you concoct next. I'm really, like I said, it's a lot to think about, a lot to try to break down and parse for that movie, Lucky. And I want more. That's all I can say. I want more, because I love good storytelling. Even if it's a film that might take me a little while to get, or I don't really get it, there's something still very satisfying about a story that makes you question and think. Mm-hmm. And this one did that for me.
Oh, well, that really means a lot. I love to hear that. Thank you so much.
So where can folks keep track of you online to find out details about your next project?
Yeah, I'm only on social media and Instagram. So I'm on Natakerm, NATAKERM. The first four letters of both my names on Instagram. Mostly post like X-Files memes and some work related stuff. But you can also follow my production company at Ilium Pictures on all of the other socials. So Twitter and all that good stuff. Cool. So it's at ILLIUM Pictures is the best way to stay up to date.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Natasha, thank you so much for your time today. The movie is Lucky, and by the time you're listening to this, it should be available on digital and on Blu-ray DVD. For those of you lucky enough to want to dive into this mind-bendingly dark film. And we'll be back with more Slices Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi. Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's surveillance fatigue has you covered, in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama. From heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi guys, this is Tom Allison, and I play Pree on Killjoys, and you're listening to A Slice of Sci-Fi.
And just one quick reminder, you can enter to win a pair of flex passes to the Phoenix Film Festival and the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival running from August 12th through August 22nd. Send me an email, once again, with your contact information, and a winner will be selected 4 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday, August 11th, and you will be contacted on how to claim your passes. And once again, the movie is Lucky, available now on video on demand, digital HD, and DVD, courtesy of our friends at RLJE Films and Shudder. I'm not sure if it's playing on Shudder right now or if it'll be there next week. Either way, check it out. It is an excruciatingly torturous mind game. And watching Brea Grant go through all of those trials and tribulations as our poor beset upon self-help book author is, wow. I'm going to have to find a way to listen to that commentary track, because just talking to Natasha about what was going on making that movie makes me more curious. Anyway, how about you? What do you expect, or what do you anticipate? What do you look forward to from a film that plays so badly or so ruthlessly with your emotional and observational perceptions? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or tag me on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. Yes, I am open to talking about the films, the interviews, sometimes the soundtracks, sometimes sports. This week being right in the middle of the Olympics, I am happy that the U.S. women's soccer team at least got bronze. I'm disappointed they didn't go farther, but sports happens. Same for the men's soccer. I'm happy that Mexico will also be playing for bronze, El Tri. I've said this before, I have a sports crush on the Mexican national team's goalie, Guillermo Ochoa. He plays for Team America in La Liga MX. And yeah, seeing him get an Olympic medal after all of the other accomplishments he's made would make me happy. Just saying. What else do I talk about on Twitter? I will argue on various comic book heroes. I will push for ones that have not gotten their fair shake at a television show or a movie. I will reminisce, even lament, what I feel could be the early loss of a lot of shows current and old. While many of my other podcasters are still fighting for one more season of Winona Earp, hey, I wish Dark Matter had gotten another season. I wish Black Lightning had gotten another season. I'm hoping we get more than three seasons of For All Mankind. I'm hoping I'm hoping we don't have a letdown with The Expanse. There's always that worry. I know it's going to get its full run, but I hope that makes the showrunners, the producers, the writers, I hope that makes them want to go out on a high note, because Game of Thrones, damn it. Don't get me started on that show. Do not get me started on what happened with Games of Thrones. That's just, that argument requires lots of rum. Anyway, you can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, or if you're a member of Podchaser, please leave us a review. That helps with the show's profile. It helps more eyes discover the show on those platforms. And hopefully that translates into more ears. We can always use the signal boost. After 16 years, it really does seem like a lot of the older listeners either lost touch with the show, lost interest in the show. I've heard from more than one person over the past couple of years that the interview format isn't enough fun for them anymore. I don't know how to address that right now, because I don't have a team of contributors who can do this show once or twice a week. So the talk show comedy routine, it's not my style. The talk show routine could be. I mean, we've had a couple of good discussion episodes with Noah and Darren. For those of you who missed it, we had a nice long discussion about Zack Snyder's Justice League. So I'm doing what I can since I'm on my own. Maybe there are a few elements I could add. Maybe there are a few different tracks I can take, but the movies I'm interested in are science fiction and horror, expanding out into action and fable, fantasy, paranormal, mysteries, thrillers mostly. Action thrillers, always, always a high point. And I like to talk to the people who make those movies, those TV shows, where I see a spark of a creative, something in that show that got made that connects with me in a creative way. And I want to know more. I want to dig deeper. I want to know more. And that's the direction I tend to take a lot of these interviews, digging into the creative process, digging into what was it about the story that was on the written page that said, hey, this is the story I want to tell. This is the movie I want to make. This is the short film I'm going to make. This is the story that wouldn't get out of my head until I made it. And the magic in the story is what I seek. But yeah, if you have questions or comments or suggestions, is there something I'm doing you like? Is there something I'm not doing that you'd like to see done? Send me an email. Or leave a comment through the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by. Ask a question in any of the episodes that are there. Any of the active episodes since, I'm going to say, October 2014? Comments should be open. You are welcome to comment on any of those interviews, on any of the reviews that Noah, Darren, Lewis, and NerdSoul and myself have done over the years. We welcome the questions. We welcome the insights that you might have that we might have missed. So come on by. Or like I said, ask on Twitter. I want to thank everyone who is currently helping to support the efforts here for these podcasts in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, which include Slice of Sci-Fi, Writers After Dark, the Archives of Babylon podcast, the Archives of Charlie Jade, the sarcastic wit of Sand Trooper, TD0013, and his different point of view vignettes. Yes, those are still online. Those are still available for you to listen to and comment on. And they stay online thanks to your support. Your donations, your pledges keep these websites up and running, keep the hosting for the media going. And for that, I am grateful. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. Pick a tier, any tier, and you could be eligible for perks. Every month I pick an email address out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a Blu-ray, a DVD, a 4K, a book that I have around here, review materials that I can't keep because I'm running out of space. So they need to go to new homes, and I would prefer that those new homes be of the fans and listeners of these shows. Since they are helping keep this stuff online, I feel it's only right that the supporters and listeners get first dibs at the swag. And if you are more the donate every now and then type, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And yes, I'm going to have a coffee page open soon. And if I'm not mistaken, membership tiers will be available through that. I have to read through all the FAQs and instructions and terms and conditions to make sure I understand what I'm opening myself up to there. But when it's ready to go, yeah, you guys will be the first ones to know. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi very soon. Take care.